talking today with Tim Lusk, CEO of the National Sorghum Producers. Tim, I want to just kind of jump in right here. I know there's this ongoing issue that you guys are just now settling into with China, these dumping claims that they have brought to the WTO. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with this situation and where we're at.
Well, on the 4th of February, the Chinese government initiated an investigation into countervailing and anti-dumping duties on U.S. sorghum exports to China. So it is not to the WTO process at this point. It's just a government direct interaction at this point. Just an investigation to start the process into what could lead to further tariffs down the road or nothing. And I think that's one of the things that we are early in the process. First thing is when something like this happens, industries have to choose what they're going to do, and we're going to fully cooperate in the process. Certainly from our grower's standpoint, we don't believe they've done anything wrong. This was a case that wasn't brought to by any individuals in China that were concerned about what was happening. I think this is something that is new and unique to the U.S. sorghum industry. Never been accused of this by any country in the world ever. And so something that, we're not used to, but nonetheless, this is why trade associations exist, and certainly it's the time for us to step forward and defend our farmers and work forward with this process. The process itself is ongoing, and so we will continue to work through that. I think the realities are, from a market standpoint, unfortunately, uncertainty creates challenges in the market. And for a lot of our growers, certainly the couple of days after the announcement in particular, very significant drops in prices. And I think for the overall country, we've continued to see those drops in prices, although they've came back considerably in many areas over the last time. The market is still open. Grain sales last week were strong. Shipments were strong. So it is an ongoing process, but it's a very serious process and one that we will continue to work on behalf of the U.S. growers as we move forward.
What impact does China have on U.S. sorghum? I understand that they are one of our largest customers at about $1 billion in sales?
They are, and the numbers, of course, in the middle of the marketing year are always changing, but let's just say they are the significant dominant buyer of U.S. sorghum on the international scene. And exports have been becoming a larger and larger portion of our sales over the last few years as China's customers, our customers in southern China in particular, really like our product and have certainly aggressively bought our product. And those relationships continue to be very strong. And that's the unfortunate part of this situation, because what seems to be a very win-win situation for both our producers and the end users in China, certainly that is something that is unfortunate when you see a situation where a lot of other trade issues are going on between our two governments. That's not a secret. And when you look at everything else happening, it's unfortunate that we find ourselves in the position that we're in today.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a process that you said will actually be kind of a long one. You say it could take up to a year or more. So do you have any expected timeline at this point? I know it's early on.
Really don't. All you can kind of do is speak off of what has been historical in these processes and then move forward and see how it goes. I think that there is quite a lot of flexibility on behalf of the Chinese government on how the timeline moves in this. And so certainly that's something we don't have control over. And so it's very hard for us to speculate on timing.
Sure. Let's switch gears now and talk a little bit about Farm Bill. What are some of the priorities that you all are going after in this legislation? And then where do you see Farm Bill talks going right now? I know they're just kind of getting started right now.
Well, I think first, anytime you end up in a trade situation like we're talking about right now, it just underlines the need and the reason for a good, solid farm policy that can provide a reliable safety net. Individual farmers do not have the financial wherewithal to get caught up in international trade battles and live to tell about it. So certainly our country has a long-standing tradition of WTO compliance in terms of our farm programs. We are confident that any subsidies that are being received are well within the rules and the guidelines of compliance within WTO. And when we look at that from a safety net standpoint for our growers, that's why the PLC program is important to our growers, because it does provide that Title I safety net. And I think, you know, allowing growers in this new farm bill the option to look at making changes, if they're not comfortable with whichever program they signed up with, they would have the ability to make that change as kind of, you know, one of the core principles. Certainly do no harm in crop insurance. And if there's opportunities to make small tweaks and improvements, those would be very helpful to our growers. And so certainly working with the committees to find ideas and opportunities of how some tweaks to insurance can be made that could be positive. For growers, conservation is a significant portion of a farm bill, and certainly sorghum is a crop that should be a poster child for conservation. But frankly, a lot of the programs in the conservation title haven't worked that well in the plains and for a lot of our growers. So we're really pushing in the conservation title just to make sure that the programs that are there do work for our growers throughout the United States, but certainly in the Western Plains. That those are programs that can provide additional benefits to help in those farming operations.
Yesterday you described the sorghum industry as having a niche market rather than, you know, that bulk market. Defining yourselves in that way, how does that add to your strategic plan and to market and to move the industry forward?
Well, I think we just have to realize the size and the scope of agriculture today. I mean, I would suggest that anything that's below half a billion bushels is a niche market today, and half a billion bushels is a lot. But the size and scope of worldwide agriculture is big today, and so from our standpoint, you know, it's really focused on the value back to the grower, and you know, there is two things that need to happen. I mean, ultimately, your product needs to be able to make money for the end user and the people that are handling the product. But ultimately, the role and responsibility of our organizations are to help increase producer profitability. So that is really a big focus for us, to be able to move back to that level and make sure that as we grow new markets and grow new opportunities, that it's getting back to the farmer as well. I think the last thing that really on the association side that ties in with a lot of this is when we look at new farm bill, increases in MAP and FMD funding to help with our promotion of exports around the world is certainly something that our industry and organization is strongly behind. I believe that is a priority that our country needs to focus on, and that is interesting quote today that you know, the European wine industry spends more just on their own promotion than all of U.S. agriculture does in its. And so I think it just shows you that there's a lot of opportunity to continue to promote our exports around the world, and we're very focused on that.
Tell me a little bit about the sugarcane aphid. Obviously, what you were just talking about, meeting that potential demand in the market is very important. So total production is always a focus of farmers. One threat to that being that sugarcane aphid. What's the current status of that? Was there any particular threats that we've seen recently to that, and how are we playing that out?
Well, I feel a lot more comfortable doing the interview this year than I did 2 years ago. I can promise you that. Certainly our industry has made huge strides in terms of that. You know, last year when we looked nationwide, you know, less than a third of the crop was treated at all. And in a lot of areas, nothing was done. In many areas where there did have to be a treatment, it was one spray and it was done. And those are statements that would not have been true 2 years ago in any form or fashion. And I think it's a multiple areas of improvement. A number of our seed companies have came up with new products that are significantly better in handling the aphid. We have an arsenal of new chemicals, and most importantly, probably, our growers have learned a lot about how to use them. and when to use them and how to control that. And certainly the checkoff program has worked diligently with Dow and Bayer in particular to really come up with those best management practices and those techniques and tools to be able to do that. A lot of it has started in good control in the South, and when there's good control in the South, the insect issues just aren't as big a deal further north. So industry has came a long ways. Is the insect still around? Yes, but I'd suggest it's in the context today of where many other insects are and many other crops, in that it is something that we will watch for, and if and when it shows up, we'll manage it. Whereas, two or three years ago, certainly it was a serious challenge to our industry.
And obviously agriculture is based a lot on innovation. Sorghum being a part of that is no exception. And so one program coming up is the Terra program. A lot of people may not be as familiar with that right now. Could you speak a little bit about what that is?
Absolutely. Since it's not a direct ag program, well, a lot of people have no idea about it. But it's a program under the Department of Energy, and the Department of Energy has a focus on part of their resources as it looks at feedstocks. And sorghum has been chosen as one of the model feedstocks that the Department of Energy looks at as they look at developing technologies of moving us to the next level in agriculture. And so a lot of the work in sorghum is very exciting and cutting edge, and it's not traditional ag research. One of the Terra has been mentioned in a lot of phenotyping and genotyping work going on there, but there's another one of their projects called Roots that is exactly what it's about. It's about roots, but it's about roots in a way that's never been looked at before. We're using Department of Defense underground landmine technology to be able to actually scan the root systems of plants while they grow and learn a tremendous amount about roots that, frankly, in the last 150 years of plant breeding, we've never been able to know in any crop. And certainly from a sorghum industry standpoint, we've traditionally, unfortunately, gotten that technology, 10 or 15 years behind some of the other major crops. So it's very exciting from our industry standpoint to be able to be the crop where a lot of this cutting edge research is being done, and where we know that there's some significant differences in terms of drought tolerance and water use efficiency in these different root systems, and to be able to learn a lot of that that can be applied back into our crop.
And I'll just end on one last question here. Obviously, National Sorghum Producers is a big backer of this commodity classic. So how important are events like this for the commodities and the different associations to come together and talk about industry issues?
It's a great opportunity. Most of our growers grow all the commodities represented here. There's certainly at least two or three of them. And so it makes a lot of logical sense for us to come together. It's a great opportunity for the organizations to be able to talk in a common voice on key critical issues that are important to all of agriculture and all of farming. It's a great opportunity to spend time with many of the suppliers and industry players that are critical to the U.S. farmer. And so from that standpoint, was talked about, Krista Harden talked about 20 years ago, talking about when corn and beans first got the idea, could they actually come together? And I think when we look at where it is today and the number of people that participate in it, it's just an efficient, effective way for the agriculture groups to come together and have a great meeting that can do a lot of things from an educational standpoint and communication standpoint on the benefits of agriculture.